They went out from us so everybody would know, hey, I'm not with them holy rollers anymore.
I don't like the label holy rollers, but I'm just using that as a designation for that remnant that still believes in holiness, that still believes you can be sanctified and live without sinning every day, that we believe we can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives, and have the kind of a church that the early church was characterized by: holiness, love, power with God, divine unity. Lord, have mercy. The real gifts of the Spirit. A church that was united in a single purpose, that were in one mind and one accord, of one heart and of one soul, that had men of God in their churches, that would preach the truth if it meant going to jail or giving their lives. That didn't matter to them. They had one goal, and that was to please Jesus Christ, their Lord and Master. And here we are in the end time generation when there's nothing about the end time church of Jesus Christ that faintly resembles the early church of Jesus Christ. You think Jesus is going to have two churches? No, he's going to have one. And the same blood-bought group of saints that made up the church of the early reign of Pentecostal power, we're going to have the same characterization that the early church had for us to shout around the throne of God with the Apostle Peter and Paul and all of those gone before us. Some modern day professor get up there around the Apostle Paul, a man that jeopardized his life from the time he began. He just barely caught his breath as a Christian, and they was trying to kill him the rest of his life. And these old dainty, penny-waist modern Christians up there, so-called, shouting around the throne with a man of that caliber? No, the church of the end time is going to possess the same caliber, the same character that the early church possessed before we go. Now note this. In the dispensation of grace that we live in, it's lasted over 1900 years. But that 1900 years has not been characterized by an age that has been filled with the work of the grace of God. At many times in most centuries during the 1900 years since Christ, those 1900 years, most of those centuries have been filled with dark ages, with ages in which the Holy Ghost was almost muted to even the conviction of man, much less the salvation and redemption of man. In most of those ages, there was barely a protest and a voice ever raised to declare what the apostles had taught in their own day. There was an early reign of Pentecostal power that ended up at least in the third or fourth, or the fourth century, we call it, 300 A.D. It lasted no longer than that. By 325, the church had completely apostatized and went into a period of dark ages, until way up in the 1500s. In the end time, beginning in 1900, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And you read about that, of course, in Acts, the second chapter. It's beautiful. Verses 17 and 18, "And it shall come to pass," said the Apostle Peter prophetically, "that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see dreams, your young men shall see visions," beg your pardon, "your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my Spirit, saith the Lord, and they shall prophesy." Here is that latter rain. It's spoken of in the Bible in such terminology as this, in James the 5th chapter and verse 7. "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman hath patience for the precious fruit of the earth until he receive the early and latter rain." See, there's an early rain that ended 325 A.D. There's a latter rain that began in 1900 in California, Azusa Street, when the Holy Ghost began to be poured out again. And in between there, Lord have mercy, that was 1,500 or 1,600 years of dark ages, in which the Holy Ghost did no great work. It barely kept alive the voice of a holy remnant that was very weak and small until Martin Luther stepped forth in 1513 and wrote the 95 thesis of his message, Justification by Faith, and the Spirit of God began to work and move again through the truth that was manifested in the revelation that God gave this man to dispose or to somehow counter the darkness of the superstition that had covered the earth with a spiritual darkness for 1500 years. My Lord, have mercy. And here we are now in the end time again, as the Bible has prophesied that in the last days God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. We're living in that time. But the thing about it is, paralleling the outpouring of God's Spirit is a falling away or an apostatizing of professing Christians all over the world. The Holy Ghost is pouring out His Spirit in a revival of holiness. And these people mimicking the Holy Ghost are not the ones that are receiving the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We're seeing the apostasy that God has prophesied would occur in our very own generation, the end time in which we're living, and accompanying it is a move of the Holy Ghost in that great revival of our sons and daughters prophesying and young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams will not come until there's signs in the heavens above and fire in the earth beneath and pillars of smoke. The Apostle Peter also said would happen along with Joel, the second chapter. There's some things yet to occur. People want to grab for that scripture in Acts 2, 17 and 18, but they don't want to go on down and get the rest of it, where it says, "And I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The moon shall be turned, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come." My Lord, it'll come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We haven't come to that place yet. But we're seeing the falling away first. God didn't say there'd be a revival first. He said there'd be a falling away first. Now those two things are evident. A falling away, an apostasy, and the revealing or unveiling of the Antichrist will precede the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, don't let nobody deceive you by any means either. Don't let nobody put a first-class fooling on you. All right? To prove we're living in the day of the most massive rebellion in all history. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. The great apostle declared, "The Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith," and that some could be multitudes. They'll depart from the faith. That's another word or phrase that's used from the word apostasis in the Greek, which means go into apostasy. Falling away, departing from the faith, and apostatizing is all the same thing. It's worse than backsliding. They'll depart from the faith in the latter times, the end time. They'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They won't listen to the Word of God, is what Paul is telling us here. They'll listen to a seducing or religious spirit. They won't listen to the Bible. And they'll give heed to the doctrine that those seducing spirits are teaching men and women, which are the doctrines of demons. If it don't come out of the Bible, then you're not to accept it. It's a doctrine of a devil. All right, they'll speak lies in hypocrisy. Willfully, they'll abandon their faith in the Word of God. They know better. It's willful. I'm going to tell you about that old willful sin in one little verse of the Bible. It's very big, but it's short. That's in Hebrews 10, the 10th chapter. What? Yeah, verse 26. "For if we sin willfully After that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for that kind of a sin, for that sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's God's adversaries. There's some other scriptures in there that even gives a lot more fearful warnings to these people who abandon their allegiance to the Word of God. They'll speak lies and hypocrisy. They'll have their conscience seared. You monkey around with the truth. What'll happen to you? Your conscience will be seared, just like you put a hot iron on your flesh. When you put a hot iron across your fingerprint, you don't never have a fingerprint there again. It's seared. That's what people's consciences are until they're not sensitive. They're not any wise sensitive to the Spirit of God and His warnings or His counter-dealings with them in trying to turn them back again. It doesn't do any good. God doesn't fool with them anymore. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. All right, in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter also. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's dangerous, perilous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. These are people that have gone up into apostasy, renounced their faith in the Word of God.